Dina's song.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, welcome back. I'm sounding a little bit less like Froggy every day, which is good. And if you don't understand Froggy, that means you're probably under the age of 45 or something. But Froggy, Little Rascals, that's the persona I've taken on since I got back last Thursday, a week ago, I got back from Israel, came back with some kind of Israeli cold, which then went into my eyes. I had conjunctivitis in both my eyes. See, you missed that. Now, Dr. Keith Whitfield is here. So have you had that happen to you before?
I had that happen. I was teaching a PhD seminar.
Oh, no.
A year and a half ago and ended up with an eye infection in the middle of the seminar.
Perfect.
It was awful.
It was awful. So it ended up in both of my eyes. I looked like I was going to bleed out. I couldn't finish the show on Friday because my voice left. And then what day did I do the show in here in the dark? It was Monday, so we actually had all these lights off on Monday so that I could get through the show with my eyes. It literally looked like I was going to bleed out. It was just nasty. Anyway, things are getting better. Praise the Lord for that. It is Theology Thursday with our friends at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. Dr. Keith Whitfield is back in the house, the Associate Professor of Theology, as well as the Dean of Graduate Studies here at the seminary and Acting Provost. And welcome back. Always good to see you.
It's good to see you. Thanks for having me on. Almost didn't make it today. I was running across campus from a meeting, so I was glad to make it.
Well, you have a beautiful campus to run across. Most people, I don't know if people have preconceived notions about a seminary.
Yeah.
Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, despite the fact that it's one of six Southern Baptist seminaries, is, I think, the most relaxed seminary in terms of the environment, casual clothes. It's kind of this... Yep. It's a cool vibe. That's when Danny's on, Danny Aiken, the president of the seminary, he's always, well, there's a sweet spirit on campus. And there really is. It's a beautiful campus. It's well-maintained. It's not huge, so it's easy to get around. But why was this week in particular crazy for you?
You know, every week seems to be, has its own level of crazy. But we did have a guest on campus this
week.
Big
time.
Yeah, we had our Page lecture series this week as an annual fall lecture, and Lee Strobel, who wrote Case for Christ, Case for Creation, former atheist,
yeah.
The editor at the Chicago Tribune, came to faith in Christ in the early 80s and has been on staff in a number of churches and now is sort of dabbling in academics a little bit. And so I think he's written like 43 books.
Oh, man, that's crazy. Like yeah, that. Yeah, and prolific.
Yeah, so he was here and did two lectures, and it was fantastic.
Yeah, so what was he teaching and lecturing on?
Well, you know, I thought he was going to do apologetics, but he really talked about evangelism.
Huh.
I think the thing that struck me the most in interacting with him is how much time he talked about evangelism, the stories he told about people coming to faith in Christ,
yeah.
and how the stories affected him when he told them. Mm. It was remarkable. I was challenged by what he shared, but I was even more challenged by just the kind of person that he is. I had a chance to have dinner last night with him and his wife, and
he's a very gentle soul.
Yes,
he's funny. Mm-hmm. He's kind of got that big teddy bear thing going. Yep. I mean, wickedly smart. Obviously,
yes.
He's a great apologist. But yeah, when I introduced him earlier this year, Gateway Crisis Pregnancy Centers, which is here in Raleigh, North Carolina, just an outstanding pregnancy resource center, and he's great on that topic. But just introducing him and spending some time with him, he has a piece of my salvation because I was listening to tapes from Willow Creek, which is shocking to some people. I know that people can actually get saved listening to tapes from, and tapes is another, that's a dated term.
What is a tape?
Thank you for that, Keith. I appreciate that, your encouragement there. Cassette tape. So it was back in 1994, holy cow. And I was listening to cassette tapes from Willow Creek. I lived in Columbus, Ohio, and I was listening to Bill Hybels, John Ortberg, and Lee Strobel. And it was these messages that Lee Strobel gave in particular. They would do this series at Willow Creek, like, what would Jesus say to Oprah Winfrey, Michael Jordan, Michael Jackson, Bill Clinton? And that was the type of teaching I needed at that time to bring mm-hmm. me back to the church. But I said, listen, I was listening to some of your tapes when I got saved, so you get a piece of anything good that's come off of my tree. And you could tell he was so thrilled that I shared that with him. Not sure. that it had anything to do with me, but it just had something to do with what the Lord has done and how he used him. So that was really cool to hear.
I heard so many stories this week. I came to faith in Christ by reading Case for Christ.
Yeah.
We have a number of staff members on our campus that said that.
Wow.
And so, and people came to hear him and brought their case for Christ and stood in line having him sign it and
that's so
telling
cool.
the stories of how the book impacted them.
Yeah, he's a real deal. And if you've never read the book, you should read the book. And also, if you want to cheat a little, it's an excellent movie, The Case for Christ. They did a great job making that into a movie. That's available out there. I think it's on Amazon. I don't know if it's on Netflix, so you can watch it online.
It is on Netflix. It's so
free good
on Netflix.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. And then what's generally going on because you're kind of wrapping up the semester, coming towards December. How are things on campus?
Man, things are great. We've had a great semester. We are beginning to get into the home stretch, so everybody's a little tired, and the students are trying to stay awake and all those types of things, and we're all looking for the next break. But had another great just record enrollment. Our college, we have a new dean in the college, Dr. Scott Pace. There's just a great spirit there. And
because how many students in the college now?
Yeah, we've got the traditional college students, just under 600 students, but students who take courses through the college, we have over 1,200 students.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it wasn't that long ago, and I mentioned Danny Aiken because Danny's on once a month on Theology Thursday, and we've been doing Theology Thursday now for over 4 years. So I go all the way back to that point when I would ask Danny, how are things on campus, what's going on with the school, and he was like, you know what, we just passed 2,500. And it's just the numbers just increase.
It's incredible.
It's really incredible.
Right. The expanse of the school, the places we're reaching in, really not just in North America or in the Southeast here, all around the globe. It's an exciting place to be a part of.
Yeah.
To really see our mission be energized and to go out and reach people who are training for ministry in all sorts of places.
Yeah, it's such a cool place to be around. It always has been, and I'm sure it always will be, both the college and the seminary. SEBTS.edu/radio, by the way, if you want to drop into a page where, whether you live here in the Raleigh, North Carolina area or not, praise the Lord for technology, because you can access so much of the content, so much of the great teaching here at the seminary online. So that's a page that we set up with Southeastern, so you can check everything out that's available there. And a lot of it's free, so make sure you go there as soon as you can. SEBTS.edu/radio. Okay, 30 seconds, 15, 20 seconds to set it up. The NFL, because we're talking about the truth.
Yeah, it's some way to frame it out. I don't know if you watch the NFL, but people have complained about the refereeing in the NFL all season.
It's particularly bad.
Yes, they say it's particularly bad. And that may actually be the case, but I also know that from my own perspective, when I'm watching my team, it doesn't really matter. They can never do anything right.
Yeah, so what do we do with the truth? It's kind of the theology of truth-telling today on Theology Thursday with Dr. Whitfield. We'll be right back. So what are we waiting for? Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday with our friends here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary. In case you were wondering, if you look on Facebook Live, if you join us there, just go to the Steve Noble Show page at Facebook, and you'll see we go live on Facebook pretty much every day of the week when at all possible. So you'd see we're actually in a studio that's on the campus of Southeastern Baptist, which is awesome. And I'm always going to encourage you, whether you live here or not, whether you're in the state of North Carolina or not, wherever you happen to be hearing the show, either it's live on radio, perhaps you're listening streaming online, you're watching Facebook, or you're catching a podcast later, there is just unbelievable blessings waiting for you if you get involved with any of the online classes. And like I said, many of them are free. Some of them are not, but many of them are. And so I just really want you to check that out. That's a level of teaching that you generally can't get at most churches. No knock on churches, but most churches don't have seminary level professors there teaching your Sunday school class or leading your small group. So I want you to check that out, sebts.edu/radio, and that'll land you on a page that'll show you everything that's available. Okay, so you said so. We're going to talk about truth telling. We're going to talk about tribalism. We started kind of kicking it off with the NFL, which is really a perfect example.
Yeah, it's a good example. Sports is just a great, and it's an easy example because we'll admit, oh yeah, I'm biased.
I'm a little biased.
Yeah, when it comes to my team, and when the game is on the line, I'm really biased. There is no call that's good except the call that goes in our favor, right?
Exactly.
And so another way people talk about it is calling the balls and strikes, you know. And even there, we don't always like the way the umpires call the balls and strikes.
Right, right. Yeah. It all depends on whether your team is winning or losing. And whether that's in sports obviously, painfully obvious in the world of politics. I think this is where this is particularly bad. But also in our own kind of camp, evangelicalism, whether you're a Southern Baptist or not, it's irrelevant. Just evangelicalism in right. general. Don't we see it? Like, especially on social media.
I think in politics, culture, and theology are these spheres, if you will, where this becomes a particular challenge. And they're the types of spheres that where people do take sides. And that they believe and hold their positions very, very passionately and very firmly, and believe that if their position wins the day, it's going to be good for them and other people. And if somebody else's position wins the day, it's not going to be good
right.
for other people. And they think there's a lot at stake in them, and so the lines get drawn. And unfortunately, what happens is the people on the other side are the enemy.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, and for us, again, we have to surrender everything to Christ. We have to take every thought captive that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And so you go, who's my enemy? Is my enemy Nancy Pelosi? Is my enemy the LGBTQ agenda? Is it transgenderism? Blah, 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 blah. Well, biblically speaking, we really only have one. He's got a name. His name is Satan.
Yeah.
And everybody else are players in the game. But really, when it comes to that word, that E word, that enemy, and I think we lose that. And I asked you this question. Define tribalism in general, because we're going to talk about telling the truth, calling balls and strikes based on truth, but tribalism is kind of the umbrella of all of it.
Tribalism is sort of the umbrella, and the reason for it is because when you name somebody the enemy, then it's you versus them. Their sides are drawn, and there's a bit of a war that takes place then, and you win at all cost. And so tribalism is a way to capturing sort of the breakdown of our culture, our civilization, our society, and identity groups, whether it be political, theological, social, cultural, but these various identity groups that then hold their position in common and see themselves in opposition to other positions or other views. And it's just a broad way of kind of describing what I would say is really the state of things right now in North America.
Sure.
And in the different spectrums that we talked about.
And we're not saying, because I know, right, I can guarantee you, there's some people going right now, you don't start compromising with everybody.
No.
And this isn't a matter of changing positions. And you have to realize there are opposite sides of important positions. Like, are we saying, we got to quit being aggressive about the issue of life? We're not saying that at all.
Right. No, absolutely not. But you don't have to hold your position in such a way that your identity is so tied to the position and the advancement of that position and to the other people who hold that position, so that not only do you oppose a contrary position, that the contrary position is not just attacking your convictions, but attacking who you are.
Yeah, and you're going after the person.
Right.
Because we have to, don't we have to, isn't it, aren't we obligated to continue to keep the gospel on the table?
100%. We are obligated not only to keep the gospel on the table, we're obligated to pursue the truth. And we're obligated to, because we're gospel people and we believe that that God created the world, that and it's right to worship him and to know him, and that there's a certain way that the world flourishes. We're obligated to work towards that. That's what it means to love God and love neighbor.
Right. Yeah, and so that's why we have to be careful as we unpack this for the rest of the show today. We're not talking about compromising on principles. We're not talking about compromising on God's word or the truth. We're not talking about compromising on issues, right. And very important issues.
In the irony, this reason why we're talking about in terms of truth-telling is the irony is that people hold their position and then sometimes compromise on other principles to hold their position.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the trick, because right. we get so wrapped up in the particular issue, and I asked you this question because I'm thinking it's probably worse in my generation. I'm 53, so I'm in the culture war, white evangelical Protestant Republican kind of, however you want to paint it. There's
yep.
that.
Yep.
And because of what's happened in the country over the last 20 years, there's a lot of anger, there's a lot of frustration, and so the tribalism is very deep and very strong. And then my assumption being that, the younger folks, that's what you say when you get older. Well, the younger folks, it's not as bad because they're interacting, they're social media savvy. But I asked you that question about the students like here, if it's better or worse or the same, and you said it's kind of the same.
I think it's kind of the same. I mean, there may be different flashpoints. Some people are more engaged than others, but I would not say that the difference is generational. I'd say the difference is dispositional for some students. Some people are more so more gifted or more inclined to dealing with ideas, and they see ideas for what they are and those types of things that just don't get quite as worked up.
Yeah.
But when you look on social media, you've got people from every generation engaged. And here on campus, we see lines being drawn on theological and cultural issues. Not necessarily among us, but you know, against other positions.
Sure.
And so I think it's not, I don't think it's generational.
Yeah. And then, and of course, you've mentioned social media so many times, and I would too, because I think that's the main issue.
Yep.
Is that's unleashed this beast.
Yep.
That we just couldn't access it before. It wasn't that easy to get in everybody's face and share your opinion and kind of go off about stuff. You didn't have a release point. Now we do.
Right. So a couple of weeks ago, I tweeted this. Reflecting on Psalm 1:1, happy is the one who doesn't walk in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway of sinners or sit in the company of mockers. One example of sitting in the company of mockers on Christian Twitter and in the other forms of public engagement is the misrepresentation of a clearly stated position of another person. I said there's only a handful of explanations. Either we don't understand the position, we don't value truth-telling, we don't trust the person's actual words, or we don't agree, and it's easier to misrepresent than to engage the position thoroughly.
Yeah.
But none of these four possibilities actually lead to honoring Christ, who is the truth, and none of them lead to what Psalm 1 says, he's like a tree planted beside flowing streams that bears its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Yeah.
And so I think for me, that is the issue, is that how do we handle people's views that they clearly state and that go against our positions.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the real trick because, again, that's why I brought the gospel up. You can be right on the issue and pound the table with truth, but if you don't have grace, if you don't have patience, then you kind of ruin that bridge for the gospel, which you always have to keep in mind. You might be arguing, as I do regularly, with people on political issues or cultural issues, but my ultimate goal is not to get them to come to my side on a life issue or whatever it is. My ultimate goal is to be able to see them come to Christ,
right?
Become a Christian.
And our responsibility is to make sure we actually understand their position.
Right, exactly. We're talking to Dr. Keith Whitfield. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, discussing with Dr. Keith Whitfield today. A significant problem, both inside the church, inside evangelicalism. You see it in sports. You definitely see it in politics. And it's this notion of tribalism and how we just kind of lose our minds as we engage people on the other side of an issue. And then we were kind of joking around a little bit earlier with the NFL. You like the refs when they're calling good plays for you guys. But as soon as they call a play against your team, now you hate the ref. They're the worst refs. The NFL's got a problem. The whole thing's corrupt and you want to burn it to the ground. And that's what we tend to do on all these issues, especially in politics. But we see it in evangelicalism, too. You see it a lot, Keith, and in Twitter, in the Twitter world.
Yeah, you see it all the time in Twitter. I mean, you can see it every day. You find out what the next Twitter debate is, what's the next big controversy. And one of the challenges here is that, you know, most of us don't, or I don't know anybody that actually does, has the capacity to keep up with all of them.
No, you can't.
The information is coming so quickly, but for whatever reason, we don't have the discipline not to try to keep up and respond to everything. And so if you can't keep up and you don't know what's going on and you do respond, what's the likelihood of you're going to really understand the issues and respond in a really helpful, appropriate way? And so I think the rush to respond is a real issue here.
Well, yeah, we're all kind of fear of missing out.
Right.
And they just posted it, so I got to say something.
Yep.
And there's no restraint there.
Mm-hmm.
And no self-control, which is a problem since that's a fruit of the Spirit.
Yep.
Now, what were the four points you were bringing up before?
The four points. I said there's sort of a handful of explanations for when we misrepresent a clearly stated position of another person. Now, if the position is not clearly stated and you misrepresent, okay, well, what do you mean? I didn't understand. But when they clearly state, they take great pains in stating their position, there's really, I think, four explanations for why that could take place. You don't understand the position. That's always a possibility.
Sure.
That even though it's a clearly stated position, you don't understand the nuance. You don't understand the application of the position. You don't understand the reason why somebody holds the position that they do. You don't understand how it relates to your own position. You just don't get it. Well, when we don't get it, we should show enough humility to say we don't get it and make sure we do get it. And some of that's just recognizing that that, you know, really to understand what people think and the positions that they hold, it's actually pretty hard work.
Yeah, it takes time.
It takes time because people are coming from a perspective, their own logic and reasoning and convictions, and it takes time to really understand it. So if you spent 30 seconds on a tweet, likelihood of you understanding what the person says is pretty low, I think. The second one was you don't value truth-telling. Now, who's going to sign up for that one?
Right, you know, sure.
Yeah, throw my hands up. I don't value truth-telling. But I actually think this is maybe more of a problem than not. And here's the way it happens. It happens like this. There's a hierarchy of ethics. And that right now, it's more important to win the argument than to value truth-telling. And so I think that's kind of where that falls in. Then the third one is you don't trust the person's actual words. They said, and this has been around for a long time.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course.
They said this, but they meant this. Well, what I want to say to people when they say that is that, how do you know that's what they meant?
Yeah, when did you become so omniscient?
Right. How can you read their minds?
Right,
you know,
exactly.
Decode their words so you know exactly what
they
mean.
Assign motive.
Right. And this just goes back to, okay, if you've got questions about whether they really mean what appears to be what they say, whether you have to ask questions, you got to read more, you got to interrogate the ideas, you got to figure out exactly what they're trying to say. But you don't assume that people are using code words all the time. And there's a lot of that right now.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a whole
yeah.
lot of that. I saw a tweet yesterday. Somebody was like, if they just actually read the words of the person, they would understand. And I think a lot of times that's all we have to do is just really read the words of somebody to understand what their position is. But sometimes we are so suspicious of somebody, we think they're saying something else.
Well, you start with the source, which taints then everything that comes out of the source's
mouth. That's
exactly
right.
And so you don't bother to study or read or understand. You just say, oh, well, Nancy Pelosi said it, so it can't have any value whatsoever, which I would largely agree with generally. But again, and now this is another thing that I want to bring up. I think one of the dangers of social media and our lack of truth-telling is we don't even bother to check whether the stuff we share or like or pass along is truthful.
No, that's a big part of
it,
right?
There's confirmation bias all over the place.
I like this
article. I like the assertion, so I share it. And I've done that, and people come back and say, hey, Steve, did you know that article is 7 years old? Or, hey, Steve, did you know that the assertion that article is false? That's been dealt with already.
Right.
But I was so emotional and so charged up, I just grabbed my bat and I went to town.
Yeah, yeah. And we all do that, but we have to recognize that is a real problem. Confirmation bias is a real issue. And then the fourth one is we don't agree, and it's just easier to misrepresent. And that's when you're trying to build an argument against somebody, and you just take their words and just twist it a little bit, or you pull it out of context and say what...
Well, let me use an example of something that blew up recently in evangelicalism. Okay.
Yeah.
So John MacArthur out in California.
Oh, that's a good example.
At the conference.
Right.
And then Todd Friels, who cards on the table, I think is remarkably obnoxious. He used to be a stand-up comedian. Right? He's a born-again Christian, really kind of a rambunctious style. Personally, not a fan, but he's my brother in Christ. Okay. So I don't know him personally, but I don't like his style. So he's the one, he asked the question, hey, just your initial response, Beth Moore. And John MacArthur says, go home.
Right.
Now, that's not the only thing he said.
No.
But you don't know the context of the conference. But all of a sudden, Todd Friel says, I say Beth Moore, you say, John MacArthur says, go home.
Right.
Literally less than 10 words.
Right.
And everything explodes. Everybody divides. John hates women. You don't understand Beth Moore. Beth Moore's a heretic, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah.
It just went crazy immediately.
It started a firestorm, right? And then people were like, well, you're welcome to my home, or, you know,
right.
You know, this has started all of that.
Hey, fist bump, Brad.
Right.
Hey, fist bump, John.
Right. I mean, I think that's not so much about truth telling, but I think you can ask the question, is our tone and tenor appropriate for the conversation that we're having? Right. And perhaps a quip like go home is maybe not the most helpful way.
Sure, of course.
To engage the issues.
Yeah.
But we do. It is our responsibility to understand what does he mean by that.
Yeah, I mean, look.
What is he getting at?
And you always consider the source. I go, okay, John MacArthur. This is a guy that has been diligently expositing God's word for 50 years.
Right.
50 years. So I'm going to start by throwing a little grace on the table. He's older. Okay, does that matter? Usually.
Yeah.
He's seen a lot of things happen and a lot of the degradation of the church and America in the last 30 years. And so I think he's probably easily, I'll use a current term, triggered. And but I'm going to start there and go, okay, hold on a second. To your point earlier, this guy is not my enemy. He's my brother in Christ. And right. And by the way, Beth Moore is my sister in Christ. So yeah. I should probably temper the way I'm going to handle this as I engage that issue.
Right. But then, you know, he goes on and makes some comments about other things.
Sure.
And while that's a more editorial comment or whatever, there's some other things that were factual, and he didn't have his facts right.
Yeah.
You know, and made some editorial comments about some other things.
But so, you had to take the time to figure that out.
Right, right. But people started retweeting him, what he said on those issues. And one of it had to do with a resolution to SBC this past year.
Right.
And he just completely misinterpreted what that resolution actually says. You can disagree with the resolution. That's not the issue. But disagree on what it says and what it doesn't say. You know, don't disagree because you have reinterpreted it in such a way that doesn't account for the words that's actually being used. And so I think that was either a problem of not understanding or not taking the time to understand it.
Yeah. And again, I think this is an epidemic proportion kind of issue these days.
Yeah.
And again, what's the damage? So when you're looking at this and you wanted to talk about it, and I appreciate that you did and that we are, but what's the damage from all of this?
Oh, the damage I think is significant. I think the damage to our own souls, you know, it doesn't do our souls good not to value truth. And not to understand that we value truth because we value who God is and who Christ is, and that it's good for us to know the truth, and sometimes it's difficult for us to get at it. And so that hurts our souls. And then the other thing that hurts our souls is when we are so combative with other people, when we make people enemies, right? We have oftentimes dehumanized them, but we also, in the process, are dehumanizing ourselves.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that happens is the witness of the gospel to a watching world. And they see it. They can put their finger on it immediately. And they understand that we're people that say we value the truth, but we're not always handling the truth well, or we don't always handle other people's ideas well. And then I think there's all sorts of damages here, but I would say that finally is when we do engage the watching world, that we respect them enough to understand their position, even if we disagree, and try to understand why they hold the position that they hold, and engage on those terms. And I think what we will learn is we can actually get a lot further when someone feels like they've been listened to.
Exactly.
And they're understood, and questions are piercing when their ideas and their convictions that they have to wrestle with, we can get a lot further.
You can get a lot further.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've experienced that on college campuses in front of giant pictures of aborted babies.
Yeah.
And you got to stay in the conversation.
You got to stay in the conversation.
And you got to listen. And then as you bring truth to bear, and you've got this other person on the side of the conversation, an 18, 19, 20-year-old, and their position's falling apart quickly, then you got to have a gospel-centered heart and be, okay, now I want to help you.
Right.
I'm not just beat you up and put a notch in my belt, but I want to help you. We're talking to Dr. Keith Whitfield. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our friends at Southeastern Baptist. Dr. Keith Whitfield is back in the house today, and he's been a fairly regular guest here on the show, and we appreciate his time. Very, very busy guy, Associate Professor of Theology, Dean of Graduate Studies, and the Vice President for Academic Administration here at Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, as well as the college at Southeastern. And before we jump back in and finish up our conversation, we're kind of talking about tribalism and our allegiance to the truth versus our tribe, because I think we all struggle with that, especially on social media. But coming up after the first of the year, this happens every year at Southeastern. It's a huge deal. It's the GO Conference. Tell us about that.
Yeah, it's coming up on February the 7th, 7th and 8th. It's a Friday-Saturday conference. It's a conference we put on every year. That really is attracting high school 11th and 12th graders and college students. We usually have a theme or a topic that we're engaging. Some it can be theological, it can be cultural, moral topic that we're engaging. That really helps to equip them and helps them to think about those things from a biblical and theological worldview. And it's one of the best events we do every year. And so if you're a high school student out there and you want to come spend a couple of days on our campus, we'd love to have you. You can already go out and find the the place where you can sign up for that, you just search Go Conference 2020 and you can get all the information you need to be able to sign up for that. Bring your youth group, bring your college group. We'd love to have you.
So it's actually designed for them. It's designed for
younger. Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And it used to be more designed for juniors and seniors in college. But over time, it's become really more designed for juniors and seniors in high school and college students still.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What's the theme going to be this year?
That's a really good question. I don't know what it is, what it's going to be this year.
I'm going to race and try to find
it. It may very well be set. It is envision, God's dream for his people. And so it sounds like a biblical, theological, missional sort of...
kind of God's will, missional thing.
Yeah. Conference. Cool. So, yeah, who doesn't have questions about what does God want with my life, right? And what his will might be. It may not be you may not get a specific answer, but in terms of general orientation that give your life for the cause of Christ, it'll hit those types of themes.
Yeah, that's awesome. So back to what we were talking about. We're talking about tribalism today, and that's tribalism. Just think exactly what it means. It's your tribe. For most of us, it's going to be okay. You're pro-life, you're anti-LGBTQ agenda, you're pro-conservative, you're a conservative theologian, you believe in scripture is set, you don't interpret it differently, you don't play around with it, you're not a liberal theologian, and we kind of have these tribes, and we talk about sometimes it's Southern Baptist versus non-denominational, but not as much, but definitely in politics. I was going to mention this. I think one of the clearest examples, unfortunately, in evangelicalism, and even in our own denomination, Keith and I are both members of the Southern Baptist Convention, was Donald Trump. Perfect example. Go back to 2016, and we didn't know what a never Trumper was, but then all of a sudden that became a regular part of our vernacular. And that was very troublesome inside of our own tribe.
Absolutely.
It split a tribe yet again.
Yeah, it really was a very contentious time for our tribe. And we understand why. The big things are at stake. And the Supreme Court being one of the biggest things, and then some of the decisions that would come out of the Supreme Court. But other things are at stake. Policies.
Yeah.
The orders that presidents, executive orders that presidents can sign and the sustaining of certain executive orders, all these things are really important.
Huge issues.
Yeah, huge issues. And so, but at the same time, the Christian witness to a watching world. So morals and character and, are big issues too. It wasn't too long ago that this was a big talking point, and there were the character of the leader was elevated so high as it relates to another leader, Bill Clinton, that we were ready to remove him from office because of his character.
Absolutely.
And so this time it seemed like character for some folks wasn't as big of a deal, and I'm not even adjudicating whether that's right or wrong. I'm just saying that was, but for other people, like, wait a minute, isn't character still really important? And so these were really big issues and things that we could disagree on and not have to draw lines.
Well, that's where that truth-telling thing comes in, because you say, okay, there's a never-Trumper out there. It's person XYZ, pastor, whatever.
Right.
And you go, okay, well, that person doesn't give a rip about the country. They're a socialist, blah, blah, blah. If all these
that's
other
exactly
things.
That's exactly right.
Because they didn't. They had a problem with Trump's past and with his character and the way he communicates.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're a communist socialist pig who doesn't give a crap about America, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they're liberal. They're impugning their motivations.
You call yourself a Christian.
Right. Yeah, all those things. And these are the dog whistles and the talking points. And they're not very good conversation starters. As a matter of fact, they're really good fight starters. That's exactly what takes place.
So how do we kind of wade into this when we have a legitimate disagreement?
Yeah.
And somebody said something, it's on social media, whatever. What are the best ways forward? Because we're embracing truth, because truth matters. We're not talking about gospel at the expense of truth. It all exists at the same place at the same time. So how do we kind of work our way into this and handle it the right way?
Well, I'll tell you the way I do it. I don't know if this is the way to do it, but we were talking about this off air, that there is a higher priority or higher issue involved in our citizenship, and that is that we have a faithful witness to the gospel. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15, verse 16, I think, actually, he no longer considers anyone according to the flesh. So there's a sense in which we don't see people fleshly. We see people as spiritual, made in God's image, that Christ died for, that if they have a saving relationship with him, that they will spend eternity with him. We have to see people that way primarily and first of all.
Yeah, saved or lost.
Right.
Before Republican, Democrat, pro-life,
yeah,
pro-choice, whatever.
So that's a big one, right? That's the higher level. I think another issue is that while things are changing, there's no doubt about that. You've had your head in the sand if you don't think things are changing in our culture.
Right, right.
Things are changing, and things are changing quickly. And so I'm not, I don't have my head in the sand. Things are changing quickly. But the direction of history doesn't rise and fall on political decisions that are made in November every year.
Yeah.
That's just not the case. The direction of history rises and falls over the providential hand of a sovereign God who's demonstrated himself to be gracious and merciful to us through his son. That's the direction of history.
Yeah, that's good.
So we've got to first put our confidence in that. And then we recognize that we live in a system where we all have an opportunity to voice our opinion. We live in a system. We have a chance. We have a responsibility to vote, and we do those things. And it's important as citizens that we share our views. But you know what? You don't have to get in every conversation.
That's right. Yeah.
You go on Facebook, and somebody's dropped a bomb on the Facebook thread. You don't have to stay there.
You could actually fast from responding.
Yeah, you can. You can just not respond. You know, and every time something happens, you don't have to respond. You don't have to win every argument. Yeah. You can share your position and your opinions, listen to other people's without having to win every argument.
Well, speaking of Facebook, Dylan on Facebook, this is a great point. In regards to this topic of tribalism, how does this verse apply? As for one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. That's Romans 14:1.
Well, I think this is a perfect application, right? I think it also, what it does, it tells us how we should interact with other people, number one. Number two, it reminds us where it is that we're having these conversations. If you're having these conversations in a place where it should be primarily a discipleship kind of conversation, where you should be edifying and supporting one another and building one another up, maybe it's not the time to have conversations that are going to bring about division, theological, cultural, political. And so I think that verse applies beautifully to this.
Yeah. And I think one of the big challenges is how many, let's all honestly answer this question. How many people outside of your worldview or your political view do you actually have a relationship with?
Right.
Almost none.
Yeah, that's right. And it would help you. You would see your positions better if you were in conversations with people who had different positions and challenged you. You would use probably different language because you would realize the things that you say and how you say it are heard in certain ways by people who disagree with you. And if you really care about how they hear what you're saying, you'll try to speak differently. You will see that these things matter because people matter.
Yeah.
And these are not just ideas. We're not brains on a stick. We're people created by God's image.
That's such an important point. And actually, somebody else on Facebook was saying the same thing. Hey, our tongue follows our heart, right? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Right.
So if you lose your mind when you encounter, and this is back to the truth-telling side of this, when you misrepresent somebody's opinion, when you pull a pull quote out of something, we're just going to grab one particular thing that they said, leave out the context, and use it because you know it's going to incite other people to be against that person. That's all part of you're violating truth-telling there, which is clearly a sin when you do that.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes you see people just say things to raise doubt.
Yeah.
What good is that? I mean, why would you do that? Why would you just say something just to raise doubt about somebody else or about another entity? An organization, those types of things. Use your tongue, use your mind, use your pursuit of the truth for the good of other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Building up instead of tearing down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's ultimately, and it's, who was it? It was Henry Blackaby. What's his son's name? Richard.
Richard.
Richard Blackaby was here in Raleigh a couple years ago, and my wife and I went to hear him speak, and he was talking about the tongue. Which obviously I'm paying attention to that because I'm on the radio 5 days a week. But he said, are you speaking words of life or are you speaking words of death?
Right.
Ephesians 4:29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Only what is good for building others up according to their needs.
Yep.
I almost never think about that on social media and stuff.
We have the keys of the kingdom. Whatever we loose on earth, we'll be loosed in heaven. Whatever we bound on earth, we're bound in heaven. Use our tongues for kingdom purposes.
Yeah, it's very important to remember that. Such a good topic, such an important thing to talk about. And we all need to look in the mirror on this one. Let's not be like the guy in the book of James that looks, and then a minute later you forget. We probably all need to work on this one, so let's make sure that we do just that. Dr. Whitfield, always great to see you. Thanks for bringing this one up. It's always great having you.
Thanks. It was a lot of fun to be with you.
You're very welcome. Okay, we'll be back tomorrow. I want to talk about the Harriet Tubman movie, which I just saw. Really, really important messaging coming out of that. That was awesome. I'll talk about that and some other things going on in the news. This is Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show. God willing, we'll talk again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.